Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined as always by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, I am sitting here in my office, completely soaked, looking out on a monsoon that's hitting the Jackson area. And guys, I'm feeling a little reflective, man. And I want to reflect on the Super Bowl, which is a sporting event, but it's a sporting event that Ronald J. Martin lowers himself to be a part of each year because it's kind of a cultural event as well. It's a cultural item. So, Big R, you are chomping at the bit to talk about Super Bowl halftime. If you didn't catch it, Lady Gaga was the featured performer at this year's Super Bowl halftime. And I guess I'll just kick us off by saying I felt like this was a satire. I thought it was a parody of Super Bowl halftimes, and I don't know what they will be able to do to sort of make it more shocking and over the top, short of like executing someone live on the 50-yard line. So I think next year, like, someone will die during the Super Bowl halftime.
Well,
show.
Given the direction America's going, would you rule that out?
No, I wouldn't. I that's the thing. I totally wouldn't. And I'm only half kidding about
it. Well, I mean, isn't it funny though? I mean, speaking of that, you know, as we sort of get into this a little bit, having said that, you're right. Like, what, you know, now we got like people like, you know, how many times can everybody be flying without wires into the stadium? Mm-hmm. You know, they're literally performing magic tricks now somehow, but it's like,
like
it's shocking to me in some way, you know, given what you just said, Big T, that, that somebody hasn't done some like, sort of like, you know, some fan hasn't like, you know, committed some outrageous spectacle as a form of protest up to this.
Yeah. Point. I just feel like the Super Bowl is just this bloated, ridiculous parody of itself. You know, there was probably a sweet spot in like the '70s or the early 80s where it was big enough that it commanded sort of the world's attention, but not so big that it was a joke like it is now. I don't know, man.
Halftime shows back in the 80s. I mean, were they doing the big halftime show back then?
Dude, back in the 80s and the 70s, I mean, at the very beginning, they would do like, it'd be like a college marching band. You know, they'd have like the Ohio State marching band out, and it was a very traditional halftime show. And then there was this cheesy thing called Up With People. And, you know, for like a decade in the 70s and like the early 80s, like, they would do the halftime show. And it was just starting to become a little bit of a gong show by the early 90s. Like, I remember I had, I had somebody over, I had this girl I liked over for to the Super Bowl. It was in like 90, it was like 93. I think it was the Cowboys.
Okay.
The Cowboys and the Bills, but it was Michael Jackson, like, hologramming himself all over the sort of the rim.
Oh,
of the stadium.
Yeah. Everybody's talking about that right now as they're reflecting on Gaga. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. And it was really cool. You know, it was really cool, but it was also like, you know, halftime became like this 45-minute affair. And it's sort of like, you know, as a player, as a football player, you hate that because it's, you go into the clubhouse, you get completely cooled off, and it's hard to like,
apparently the Patriots didn't hate it.
Yeah, they loved it.
It seemed to work out pretty well for them.
No, Gaga, please play a few more songs.
Please
play another half an hour, Gaga.
Make America great again, and then we'll come out and destroy Atlanta.
Big R, can we talk a little bit more about the show itself? It looked to me like she was wearing like the term that was being bandied about at my party was a knife suit. It looked like she had a knife suit on, like a suit of knives at one point.
It was kind of like a onesie of knives, though. It was because
it was like a onesie.
It even
of
had
knives.
Like that awkward, like, diaper thing that kind of it had a bit of that awkwardness to the way it was.
She's looking to get a show on the Food Network, so she wore a onesie with like Ginsu knives,
the cutlery onesie.
She could cut through a lead pipe.
Well, so here's what was interesting to me. So, look, I mean, fellas, I mean, I do the Super Bowl party like every other normal American every year because the food is good.
Did you just compare yourself to a normal American?
Yeah, and I usually don't do that because we all know that's not true. But just for the sake of trying to lower myself, as Big T just put it, to the general
general plebes and the masses. Yes, got it.
Exactly. But this is what was crazy. So this is like a post-church, you know, Super Bowl gig that we invited the whole church out to, you know, because that's how we roll.
Oh, and you had evening church, man, committed to that.
Oh,
you
know, absolutely.
The Super Bowl's not stopping us.
I mean, literally, correct. Just we said, hey, we're gonna just jam out of here and we're gonna do the Super Bowl game. But this is what kind of got me, because everybody, I could tell there was sort of this, you know, the feeling in the room, the mood in the room was like, oh no, what's Gaga gonna do? What is she gonna do to offend us? Mm-hmm. And
so you walked in a loincloth just to make everybody feel at ease.
that's what I preached, and then I clothed myself and went to the Super Bowl gig. But but here's the thing: like my prediction was that she was going to keep it real safe, and shockingly, like she did. And like when you look at her performance, I mean, dude, it was so vanilla. I mean, she starts, you know, singing like "God Bless America," and like the whole thing, like there was really nothing you could sink your teeth into, or I mean, unless you tried really hard. Like for Gaga and for really any Super Bowl performer that always tries to do something that everybody's going to talk about, there was nothing really to talk about other than the fact that she put on a legitimately good performance. You know, she sang well and she performed well, but there was nothing controversial, which was shocking given everything that's going on. And I don't know, you know, my background tells me that, well, Gaga's last two albums have done really poorly. Like she doesn't need bad controversy. She needs good performance now to sort of get herself out of the hole that she dug into. But I was just kind of shocked that like she didn't do really anything political. She just stuck to her songs, kind of did it, you know, made it kind of pro-America and God Bless America. I mean, dude, she tried to include like literally almost every people group, religious and otherwise, into her performance to not offend. And
wasn't that the theme of the entire night? Yeah, talk about the commercials.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was inclusion and America being open armed. And so, I mean, that was the interesting thing. She starts with God Bless America, which is the super sort of traditional patriotic song, and then includes all these people groups, which the commercials did as well in terms of refugees and immigrants, which any one of them was a well-done commercial. But it felt
nothing makes me want to buy a crappy Ford car more than thinking about refugees and immigrants.
But it was,
you know, I'm in now on the Ford Focus.
It became,
I think you need some lumber.
Yeah.
The power of groupthink was so overwhelming, because you see it in car commercials and beer commercials and in lumber commercials, you know, like 84 lumber. And all of those commercials were well done individually. And if there had been two of them, it would have been like those were standout commercials. They were artfully done, but it became like being on the internet, where it's just hot take after hot take. And so even if there's some well thought out ones in the middle there somewhere, you're just like, sweet mother, can somebody just make a joke? Like what happened to the Budweiser frogs or something? Like just do something.
Hype, were there any funny? I kind of missed a lot of the commercials.
I tapped out on commercials after the first half, because I was like, this is the worst.
Were there no funny commercials?
I don't remember.
No.
Well, yeah, there was like the Skittles commercial.
The Buick one where he's like, if that's a Buick, then my quarterback's Cam Newton. That was pretty funny. You know, I mean, it was like.
I missed that.
It was sort of like funny like you would see during a normal NFL game. It wasn't Super Bowl level quality, but it was.
And like, obviously for a guy like me, like Cam Newton, I mean, he might as well said Matthew McGonagall. Like, I don't even know what you're talking. Right. So that, you know, that was like specifically funny for a.
Yeah, it's a football fan commercial.
Right.
Type, I would have loved to have been in the pitch meeting at 84 Lumber corporate headquarters as they're sitting around a table with an ad executive going, what we need is a really heartrending, heartstring pulling short film about immigrants in order to sell 2x4s. And like,
apparently that was censored, which is why they couldn't show the whole. I mean, granted, it was like a 4.5 minute commercial, but apparently it was censored or something. So they had to show the end of it online, because there was questions about it being too political, because it ended up being tied directly to a wall at the Mexican border. So,
oh, I see. Built out of lumber from 84.
Here's
lumber.
The thing. They built a door in the wall. It's a big door. So to welcome immigrants or refugees or any
poignant 84 lumber.
That's the one, you know, there's always the one commercial everybody's dialoguing about. And that's the
right
one.
Now.
That's the one everybody's
talking about. We have fallen into the trap. Here's the funny thing is, you know, that they're sitting in that pitch meeting going, this is a really big risk for us. Cause who do we serve? We serve, you know, sort of the blue collar, red blooded American builder. Well,
yeah.
Like
liberal hipsters are building.
They're buying the wood that they're buying the reclaimed wood that 84 sold 18 years ago.
Right.
That's what hipsters
are buying. They're
buying
like They're buying the wood from a barn that just fell down.
That's not true, guys. I just placed an order yesterday for like 6 or 7 tons of 84 lumber. I mean, I'm just going to build something now.
What are you building? Is that for stage sets at Substance?
Stagecraft.
Yeah.
Stagecraft at the church.
Yeah. I said, guys, it's time to build something again, but do not build anything if it's not using 84 lumber. That's kind of where I'm.
Yeah. You know what? You got to be a leader in your church. You got to lead your flock, and I'm glad you're doing that.
And I lead them to 1984 lumber.
Nice. Pipe, put a fine point on the game itself. I know Ronnie doesn't want to talk about the game, and we're not going to get bogged down.
That's not true. That's not true at all. Why do you say
my new show about the game?
I want to talk about the game. I mean, I'm all for comebacks. I'm all for people. I'm all for the underdog, even though they weren't the underdog coming back.
The underdog didn't win. The underdog lost.
They were the underdog up until the last you know, however many minutes, though, right?
You know what, I'm just glad something good finally happened to Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen.
That's right. They have lived a downtrodden life. It was really good to see them
tough life.
Scrabble to the top of the heap to get a glimpse.
Even I know
of
that
glory.
You know, good for those kids. Good for God bless those kids.
Really quick, man, before Piper goes on, can you pronounce Gisele's last name for all of us?
I literally don't know. I was just taking a stab at it.
No, I like what you said. I like the vowel pronunciation with that. Can you do that again?
I went with a long U, Bündchen.
Bündchen.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that it?
Can we roll
somebody
with
on
that?
The internet? Tell me. Somebody's going to about that.
You know, I would love it if Gisele just tweeted back at us and
I
gave
know she's
us
a listener.
Pronunciation.
I know
you
she know is. I know she's listening.
Yeah. And somebody can send her a box of you know, good
Why
humor
Why don't we just call her Gisele
does.
Brady and be done with it? Maybe that's easier.
That's outrageous.
Sorry, that's so traditional. I'm such a jerk.
You're a misogynist.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I'm going to move on. Me and Jared C. Wilson are going to start a podcast now. I can't do this anymore.
Well, why don't you go start one with Steven? His is probably coming to an end.
Dude, what I thought was fascinating about the coverage is that – so usually, especially when Troy Aikman and Joe Buck do a game, usually there's a lot of cutaways to Troy Aikman and Joe Buck, except that this time there were very few of those. And there were all cutaways to like Gisele Bündchen's like luxury box, showing her just sitting or being like spastically reacting to things that were happening on the field. Which, honest to gosh, I have to tell you, like if you're Tom Brady, that's the fantasy, right? Yeah, like you want your lady that dialed into the game.
Yeah, she's not just sort of sitting up there being like, oh, did someone score? Like she has inserted herself into like Patriots football where she called out Wes Welker. For dropping passes a couple years ago and stuff. She's a diehard fan of it, at the very
really
least
is.
Her husband, seemingly of football and the Patriots in general. And to be honest, I'm pretty sure the reason they didn't do cutaways to Buck and Aikman was because Joe Buck's facial hair was the worst thing I've ever seen. I mean,
dude, I honestly,
did he like, not know the Super Bowl was coming up? Like shave or grow a beard for 2 weeks, not 4.5 days.
Dude, Joe Buck and the facial hair thing, man, it's fascinating. What do you think is the thought process there, Pipe, for him? I mean, is he trying to go more rugged? Is he trying to be less like Fay and smug and Bob Costasy at this point in his life? What's going on there?
Yeah, apparently he has had significant. I don't know what the hair plugs are numbered, but significant numbers of hair plugs, hair plug treatments, lots of them. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where it caught, like it was very painful for him and he got hooked on painkillers. And I think he wrote about this in his recent autobiography. So maybe there's something tied to that. And I don't know. It just, that would just seem like a really odd choice to me to go with the 4 day shadow. You know, it's
dude, if you had to sit next to Troy Aikman though, like for the entirety of your career and just be the little man who didn't win a bunch of Super Bowls and wasn't this like lantern jawed American hero, like that would create some serious like psychosis.
Yeah,
I would turn into
like the full on Joaquin Phoenix, you know, beard, sunglasses, strung out thing. That
dude, it's honestly like it's a fascinating social experiment to just see how being in the presence of Troy Aikman year after year is like slowly destroying Joe Buck, you know?
Which is why when he does baseball, you're like, oh, there's a human in there who's pretty gifted.
Dude, there's a little like lilt in his voice. There's a sparkle to him when he's doing baseball that's not there when he's doing football. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know that I could. I mean, Aikman is, not to speak ill of the dead, but he's pretty terrible.
No, man, I can't hate on Troy Aikman. He was such a great player. Like I get sentimental about players. So even if they're bad in the booth, I give it a mulligan.
Fair enough.
Big R, do you have anything else to share about the game, about the spectacle, about just the entertainment item that was the Super Bowl?
You know what, man? I think I like it. I'm actually a big fan. It's the only game I watch, you know, every year. I know that's going to just upset some people even after knowing all of that about me. But I actually really enjoy it. I think it's great. You know, here's what, man, if you want to do a little commentary on it in terms of where the nation is at, I mean, it's good to see, you know, it's good to see a team that was even favored be down by that far and able to come back, you know, at the end. You know, it was definitely especially whether you were a fan or not, it was a hopeful ending. You know, the performance was hopeful. It was entertaining. I mean, even people that hate the Patriots enjoyed the game. And, I think it was one of those cultural, points of hope that people can look back on and go, okay, sure.
You're very clearly not a football fan because I'm pretty sure most people are like, oh no, evil won. I think that
for those who aren't fans of the Patriots,
which is no, everybody hates the Patriots. There's like Boston fans, and then there's Ted. I was gonna say Ted and I had a conversation about this, and we both have sort of this affinity for the Patriots because they're pretty
amazing.
Dude,
I was stoked.
I thought it was fantastic.
If you're Atlanta and you're up 28-3, and you can't salt the game away, you deserve to lose.
Yeah, that's
a thing.
And everybody that I was around was more for the Patriots, so maybe that's why I'm skewed because I didn't. In our area, everybody's kind of indifferent here, you know, so Ohio didn't have a big connection with either team. But I felt like if you had to press somebody, they weren't that anti-Patriots. They're like, yeah, sure.
I just know that.
Dude, in the South, they hate the Patriots.
They're about the Yankeeist football team. But then there's also the Belichick-Brady thing, and like people just love to ride they're cheaters. I'm like, maybe they deflated footballs, and honestly, that doesn't have any effect on the game. Yeah, people just abhor them it's so funny to me because then you feel almost counterculture to be like, well, actually, I kind of like the Patriots. I think they're fun to watch and they're a good team.
Yeah.
I thought the end of that game was the end of the game was crazy and then overtime. And it just, I don't know. It's so Brady. That's just the Bradiest ending to a game to just. The whole game just sort of muddle through things, and then somehow that muddling turns into winning. Like how? I don't know. He's throwing the same 8-yard passes to slow white dudes, and this time they worked because of
the greatest American hero, man,
Jedi
Tom
mind
Brady.
Tricks of him worked.
Should bring back that sitcom from the '80s, put Tom Brady in it, and you know we're good to run. But guys, this is getting embarrassing because this is an app that you guys should have done, and I don't want to. I feel like I'm losing my rep right now, so we got to wrap this thing.
Well, there's not. I mean, we don't want to do football commentary. That's boring. So I think we've done enough cultural commentary.
Clearly, everyone hates that, judging by all the positive comments.
Yeah, everybody hates sports.
So yeah. Well, boys, we've sort of wandered to and fro throughout the Super Bowl in that we've completely avoided the game itself. And until next time, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. Resonate has helped us with our editing and mastering pretty much from the beginning of the podcast. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Mark and Jake do a fantastic and timely job with all sorts of podcast services. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast.
These EPs find their way into the hands of Chris Tomlin. And so we got this email out of the blue that he was inviting us to go on this major arena tour of the United States. And at that time we were like, well, we're not even really a band. Do we tell him we're not a band?
Chris Llewellyn from Ren Collective shares some of his life story on The Walk, a podcast for worshipers. Join us to hear conversations and devotionals from the artists of the church. Find The Walk on lifeaudio.com, worshipleader.com, or your favorite podcast platform.